2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading at verse 17, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself through Christ Jesus, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed or hath given to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm a new creation today. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, so are you. The Lord says in his word that if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. Thank God. Thank God that through him we can be new. We can be renewed. We are born in sin, in this flesh. And before we make the decision to accept Christ, we are slaves to sin. We are bound in that place. But oh, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So that is no longer my fate. And if you accept him as your Savior, you can also live eternally with him. And I thank God for that. We know that our salvation is free. We don't earn it. Our Lord and Savior is the one that paid the price on our behalf. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't repay him. And although my salvation was free, it comes with responsibilities, church. We can't claim to be saved and claim to be a son, a daughter, a child of God, and just live however we want to live. We can't just do whatever it is that we want to do anymore. Like Pastor Lincoln was speaking about this morning, we are bought with a price. Our Savior died. He bled. He was innocent of all sin, but chose to sacrifice his life on behalf of you and I. And every baby that is born into this world has that opportunity as well. What is meant by being a new creation? What it means is, Angela, you see me the same, but I'm different. And this difference did not happen overnight, but it took time. And I have surrendered to the sanctification process. And you can accept Christ and stay a babe in Christ if you choose to stay a babe in Christ. But if you want to mature, and if you want to become what God has called you to be, you have no choice but to surrender to that sanctification process. Old things are in our past. It's not that you don't remember those things. And whenever the enemy has a chance, he'll remind you of what you did in your past. Some of us are still doing things from our past in our present. Know that it is hindering your walk. It is hindering your relationship. And it is in God's will for us to be new, made new. But we can only be new in him. Verse 18 says, the end of that scripture says that Jesus Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. In 19, it says, he has committed, he has given us to the word of reconciliation. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When you and I were still enemies to God, before we were ever thought of, before we were ever born, every man and woman, child, we were enemies. But he loved us. We love him. But it's because he loved us first. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Reconciliation. In the Greek, that word means to exchange or to change. Restoration. You've heard of people rehabbing or restoring their homes or a building or a piece of furniture where it may have once looked ragged and old and torn. When it's restored or when it's reconciled, it looks new again, probably better than it did before. I don't know about you, but I'm much better in Christ than I was outside of him. It's not me. It's the Christ that lives in me. Atonement. Reconciliation also means atonement. So in short, when we are reconciled to God, there is a change. There is definitely a change. We go from being enemies of God to friends. I am a friend of God. We sing that song. It's a scripture. I'm a friend of God, and he calls me friend. Of all the people in the world, of all of his children, he thinks of me as his friend. I am his daughter. Hallelujah. I am his servant. He is my Lord. Reconciliation. Restoration. I don't know about you, but before I knew the Lord, I was broken. Broken, shattered emotionally, physically in some ways, mentally, financially, broken in every area of my life. And it wasn't until I accepted Christ. You see, growing up in church can sometimes be a handicap to you because you get so comfortable in a routine and what everybody else around you is doing. And I'm thankful every day that I grew up in the home that I did, and my parents took me to church and I learned about the Lord. But it handicapped me in some ways because I took all of that for granted in my younger years. And I thought I had time to get it right with the Lord. But from the day I was born, I know God had his hand on my life. And no matter how far I tried to stray away, I never could get as far as the enemy wanted me to go. Like most, I struggled with sex before marriage. I never did any drugs or anything like that. I tried to drink alcohol. It just wasn't my thing. The thing that I struggled with the most in my flesh was sexual sin. Only God can deliver us from some things. We try and we try to do his will, but it's not until we surrender to his will and what he wants for us, that we can be that new creature in Christ that he wants us to be. We think we're strong. We are not. We are weak. It's only in him that we are strong. When we are reconciled, we are changed. We are restored. You see, in the beginning, when God created man, everything was perfect. All was well and all was good. And Satan showed up and showed out. And all of that changed. And from the moment that man sinned, that relationship that we had with God was broken. And it's not because he didn't love us or the creation that he made us, but he hates sin. And so from that point on, there had to be a sacrifice made temporarily to restore that relationship that we have with the Lord. But our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in his death, through his blood, and by his resurrection and what he did on the cross, we are now restored. He has atoned for our sins. That word atonement means to cover. You see, I sin. I'm not perfect. I don't get it right every day. I'm asking the Lord to forgive me all the time. I'm talking with him throughout the day. I shouldn't have had that thought. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done that. They may not be what other people see as sin, but even as a believer, we're capable of sin because we still live in this flesh. And so when we are reconciled, it's a beautiful thing because we are changed. We are no longer enemies, but we are now friends of God. He is my Father, and I know he's looking out for me. Hallelujah, I'm protected in him. I'm restored in him. I'm atoned in him. Every sin that we did, that we're doing, or that we're going to do, he died for that victory on the cross. It was won when he said, "It is finished." Reconciliation. So then, what is Paul saying in the scripture? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed, he hath given us the word of reconciliation. He's talking to us, you and I, believers. If you're saved, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everything that we know about being reconciled back to God, it is now our ministry. It is now our charge. The word of God says that we are ambassadors. You see, Jesus took our place on the cross so that we can now stand in his place today. What do I mean by that? This world is dying. This world is on its way to a place that was not created for them. This world at large is in rebellion against our God. Blatant sin, blatant rejection. But because he stood for us on that day and he died for us and he rose, now he's asking us. Through us, he wants to give that word, that ministry of reconciliation. We are the ones that are charged to do that. Christians, believers. We are ambassadors of Christ. When I was a child, I didn't like my name, Angela. In the mind of a child, I thought it's a kiddie name. And when I grow up and when I'm grown, it'll still be a kiddie name. And my mother, she would go back and forth with me, telling me what my name meant, Angelic Messenger. And then my dad would tell me the story of how he saw me after I was delivered, and he saw an angel. But my mom didn't want to name me that, so he settled for Angela. And I eventually met a friend of my mother's a grown woman whose name was Angela, and I thought, okay, I guess I can be Angela as an adult. And I accepted my name. And as I grew older, and I always knew what it meant, but I really didn't think much of it until I truly surrendered my life to the Lord. And I said, I'm a messenger of God. You know, my name says it too. But you see, an ambassador is not just being a messenger. It's a taller order. An ambassador in the natural is normally a person of distinguished character, a person that's trusted, a person that is sent to a foreign country to represent their leader, their sovereign, their king, their president. And they not only come with a message from that leader, but they embody that leader. They represent them, every part of them, every part of their being. They are entrusted with sharing the heart, the beliefs, the ideals, the practices of that leader. They stand in the place of that sovereign. So as an ambassador of Christ, you and I were sent here to be ambassadors for him. You do know this is a foreign land, right? For Christians, this is not our home. We are just passing through. If you believe how I believe, he's coming back one day. And I'm going to meet him in the clouds. And I hope you're with me. And then at some point, we're all coming back. And he's going to reign over all of this. But it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So this is not my home. I'm a stranger here. I'm passing through. So even more than a messenger, now that I've surrendered my life to the Lord, I'm an ambassador of Christ. That means God has trusted me with his word. See, that's why when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. See, the Lord knew when he left this earth, we needed strength. We needed power. That power that only comes from him to fight the enemy, to fight all of those who yield their members to the enemy. Because just like Jesus, they're going to hate us too. We're going to be killed and persecuted, looked down upon. But that does not change our responsibility as ambassadors. If you are called today to be an ambassador of Christ, you've accepted that charge. You've accepted that challenge. You said, God, here am I, send me. Before Jesus left, he told the disciples to go and teach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You may not be an evangelist of any type. You may not travel to other countries to minister. You may not stand on a stage and give a message. Your stage may be in the cubicle in your office. Your stage may be at the gas station in line. Your stage may be in your home if there are people in your home that don't know the Lord. Your stage may be in the grocery store, in the library, walking down the street. But each one of us have individual opportunities to represent Christ. All of us do. I won't see the people that you see. I don't know the people in your family the way you know them. I don't work with your coworkers. If you're a student, I don't go to school where you go to school. God has placed you in that position. He has given you that charge. He has given you that responsibility to represent him. Because see, the world is looking at us. And when they see you acting out of character and acting out of who God is, we must understand that how we represent ourselves turns people to the Lord, but it also turns them away. The Lord is love. Even when we correct, it should be in love. Having an attitude, looking down on others, sometimes we forget that God, what God saved us from. We get so high and mighty, and I pray, and I speak in tongues, and I read my Bible, and I'm at church for every service. So there's a spirit of self-righteousness that rises up in us at times. We can't be that way, church. The world needs the light that is in us. What is the message of reconciliation? Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." The world needs to know that the Lord loves them despite their sin or their shortcomings. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have arrived. There is only one righteous, and his name is Jesus. The world needs to know that. You have the gospel in you. You have access to the word. You have access to life. You have access to hope that this world desperately needs today. And if you don't share it, how will they know? If you don't live it, how will they know? Because you can say it all day long, but if you're not living it, they're not hearing it. The world needs to know that the Lord died for our sins, that he sacrificed his life for us, that they no longer have to be bound in sin. They must know. And the way they know is when we stand in his place. You and I have a place as ambassadors of Christ. And if you don't stand in that place, like the word says, then who? Who's going to do it? Who's going to tell them about God? Who's going to share the good news, the gospel? Who's going to tell them that they don't have to die and go to hell? Who? If you don't pray, who? The word says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So many false religions, so many false faiths. These people are praying and their prayers are going no further than the person next to them that can hear it. But when we pray, God hears our prayers. He sees our heart. And his word says if we're praying according to his will, not only does he hear us, but he will answer. During the women's ministry yesterday, we were talking about the power of prayer. And I asked the question of, you know, we were coming from the scripture talking about how the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I asked the question, what is it that you could be praying more fervently about? And my answer was my family. Because, you know, I've been around them my entire life, and honestly, sometimes I'm just tired. Because some of them know the way and they just still continue to do what they want to do. But I felt personally convicted by that because God had been patient with me. I didn't just roll over and do what he told me to do. And it's not in my time. It's in his time. You may water that seed. You may plant it. But it's God that ultimately gives the increase. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to pray for them and to continually lift them to the Lord. What are you not praying fervently about that you should be? Because you see, we all know how to pray for the things that we want to please our flesh. Knowing that all this stuff around us is temporal and it amounts to nothing. What are you praying for in the kingdom that is eternal? Souls, people saved, people delivered, people healed, marriages and families restored. Praying for our leaders the way God tells us to. I am just saddened by some of the things that I hear spoken about our country's leadership. I would like to ask people, have you prayed for him today? Have you prayed for them today? Because that's what the word of God tells us to do. You may not agree with everything that's said or done, but that's between them and the Lord. Your ask, your responsibility is to be an ambassador of Christ. Not just in word, but in deed also. So that the world can see Jesus in us. We may be the only Bible that they are reading. And if your life looks like theirs, what interest would they have? In their mind, your destinations are the same. Luke chapter 24, verse 47 says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 4 and 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The world needs to know this. Repentance, remission of sin. They need to know. Some people have a mindset that, oh, I've done all these horrible things. And there's some horrible things that people have done. There's some horrible things that I've done. But the blood of Jesus washes it all. He's not condemning us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's what his word says. People need to know it. But they won't know it if we're not standing in his place. Standing in the place that God has placed you in, and you and myself. There is a person that you know right now that God can save through your ministry, through you and your reconciliation ministry. And if just one soul is saved, it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to see Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so and Mr. and Mrs. and all the people that maybe they knew me and I planted a seed or I watered a seed and God gave the increase and they gave their life to the Lord. I may never meet them on this earth, but when I meet them in heaven, it'll be worthwhile. See, we don't know who we might touch in this life. That's not up to you. Everybody's worried about purpose. What is my purpose? Your purpose is in him. And if it's not in him, it doesn't matter. If you don't know what your purpose is, get in his word. Let him show you. Allow the Lord to reveal that to you through his word, through prayer. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So many people call themselves Christians, and their lives on the outside, look, with all the things they're doing and saying, like it's of God. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can tell when they're trying to bring glory on themselves. What we do as ambassador of Christ never brings glory to us, but it always brings glory to him. We have a light in us, church. You have a light in you. That light is Christ. That light is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And the world is in total darkness. And without the light that shines through us, they will continue in that darkness. Stand in him today. Stand in the place that God has put you in. so that you can share the word of reconciliation, so that you can be the ambassador of Christ that he has called you and I to be. I'm going to close with this scripture. This is Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You and I are the laborers. If we accept it, that's you and I. The harvest is plenty. People are going to die in the millions, billions, I don't know the numbers. There are going to be a lot of people who don't make it. But there are some that can and will. If you decide to surrender to the call of being an ambassador of Christ and sharing the reconciliation ministry with others and standing in his place, the way he stood for you on the cross, you stand for him now. Because the harvest is plenteous. And it needs more laborers like you and I that are willing to stand in Christ. Amen. If you'll bow with me, I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank you today. We thank you, Father, for who you are. Days are dark, God, but you are the light in us, God. And you have called us, Father, to be your ambassadors, God, to be representatives of you, of your love, of your kindness. Help us, God. We want to be, God, we want to be your hands. We want to be your feet, God. We want to be your voice in this world. But we need you, God, to stir up the gift in us, Father. Stir up the anointing in us today, God. Show us, Father, the way. Help us, Lord, to surrender all to you and to be like Paul, who lived his life to be an ambassador for you. To lay it all down and to die daily to our flesh, God, so that we can be the men and the women and the children of God that you have called us to be. Oh, help us, God. We need you to strengthen us, Lord God, because time is running out, God, and we need to move and remain in position and in place, Lord, so that we can be the extension of you to this world. So that we can share the gospel to anyone who will listen. So that they may accept you as their Savior. Only you can do it, Lord. And we ask that it be so in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank God for the word that was given today. If it didn't help you, it sure did help me. And at this time, we have a few announcements. If you haven't given, please remember to give. Support us as we support others, because we just want the gospel to go forth. And on September the 26th, there will be a movie night. And there are attendance sheets outside if you do plan to attend. And there are also sign-up sheets outside if you do plan to help. So please sign those if you can. And we will be starting a new Bible class on October 1st for Mark's Gospel. But remember, we are going to continue in Timothy this Wednesday. And with those, we're going to stand to say a quick word of prayer and dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word that came through Sister Angela. We thank you for her obedience to deliver such a powerful message and that she has poured out into us. God, I pray that you refill her now. God, I pray that every heart in here that is Holy Spirit filled will make it a declaration today to declare and decree. We will be doers of your word and not hearers only. We will be an ambassador. We will reflect Christ. Even when our flesh tries to act up, we will reflect Christ. Let us be prayers of intercessor. intercession and just not of petition. Let us give our hearts and our soul and our mind to you. Let us lift up every family member we know, every person we know that is not of you, and let us take it to you in prayer so we could stand in the gap for them. God, I pray that those who are not saved, those who do not know you, who are listening in right now, they can too be an ambassador. Just help them to go into prayer and ask for forgiveness. It's just that simple, because you've done the work on the cross. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sins and let Jesus be your Savior this day. And every heart continue to be an ambassador in Christ. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.